So, in what way does it relate to us? Well, I think it's the whole area of having confidence in our own spiritual practice for us, for ourselves. Basing our own confidence in the efficacy of the spiritual practices that we're engaging with. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about meditation. I'm talking about spiritual friendship. I'm talking about Dharma study. I'm talking about the practice of the precepts. Basic Buddhism, you could say. I'm also talking about the law of karma. The law of karma. So this is quite basic stuff, but I think it's worth looking at basic practices again and again. So the law of karma quite simply states, well, that actions have consequences. And skillful actions, based on mental states such as love, wisdom, tranquility, compassion, result in pleasant, happy future experiences. Unskillful actions, based on mental states such as craving, hatred, ignorance, well, they tend to lead to unhappiness, unsatisfactoriness, and suffering. The five ethical precepts that all Buddhists take are based on this law. Buddhists are encouraged to act skillfully in body, speech, and mind, and to move away from unskillful actions. So if you want to have a happy life, then act skillfully. Be ethical and upright in your conduct, and eventually it will happen. So verse 1 of the Dharmapada tells us, if one speaks or acts with an impure mind, suffering follows even as the cartwheel follows the hoof of the ox drawing the cart. If one speaks or acts with a pure mind, happiness follows like a shadow that never departs. So if you meditate, you practice the five precepts, you study, you're generous and patient and practice spiritual friendship, then there will be benefits for you and for others. So how is that then? How does that happen? Why does that happen? We accept this, we take this, this might be our own experience, but how does it actually work? How is it that a cause, such as a skillful volition based on, say, generosity, can bring about a pleasant effect in the future? What links them over time? Well, it's a very good question. And it was a question that was asked by a particular school of Buddhism hundreds of years ago, the Yogacharin school. They asked this question, how does this happen? And the answer they came up with, after a lot of meditation and reflection, was the teaching of the eight Vijnanas. They loved exploring the mind in meditation, and the Yogacharins concluded that all actions and mental states leave a trace at a very deep level of the mind, just like seeds. And these seeds will come to fruition when conditions are right. So none of our thoughts or actions are ever lost. They're all preserved at a deep level of consciousness called the relative alaya. Alaya, by the way, means storehouse or granary. So it's worth thinking about this. Everything we ever do or ever say is stored up in a storehouse somewhere in our consciousness. And when conditions are right, that's going to bear fruit at some point, positive fruit or negative fruit. And we can really rely on this. This is really how things are. So if we act skillfully, then it's going to have a skillful fruit. It's going to bear skillful fruit for ourselves and for others. Personally, I didn't used to think like this back in the old days of the slate quarries. I used to tell fibs and untruths. I used to become intoxicated with alcohol. I used to steal tools and materials from my workplace. Everybody seemed to do it. It seemed to be all right. Didn't seem to be any problem as long as no one ever caught you. And I didn't think that any harm would ever come of those things, as long as nobody caught me. But when I first came along to Padmaloka in 1983, on my first retreat 18 years ago, I noticed quite quickly when I learned meditation that I had actually quite a low self-esteem. My sense of myself was quite poor. And I'm now convinced this was as a result of some of my unethical actions in the past. Yeah, I don't feel like this now about myself. But back then, it was different. But I have come across the Dharma, we've come across the Dharma, so presumably we must have acted skillfully at some point in the past. So there's a strong connection here between ethics and confidence. Akshobhya is unshakably confident. The Buddha was unshakably confident in his spiritual attainments based on his skillful actions. There was absolutely no doubt in his mind. So the Buddha wasn't shaken by Mara's questioning and challenging. He didn't doubt himself. He was able to point to his practice, his aeons of skillful ethical action. He'd earned his right to the seat of enlightenment. So he really knew. Akshobhya really knows. And as a result, he's able to be unshakable, imperturbable, and immovable in that knowing. And I think this is very relevant to us, because confidence, you could say, is such an issue for so many of us today. Confidence is such an issue. Perhaps it always has been. You could say that to live is to doubt. There are so many issues today, things that we don't trust. We have doubts about all sorts of things. We have doubts about our society and its progress. We doubt our leaders and politicians. We don't trust them. We have doubts about our culture and its value. We have doubts about the economy and its long-term stability. We may have doubts about technology. Is it really the answer? We have doubts about other religions and what they believe in. We have doubts about our work and its value. Our family, do they really care about us? Our health, is it going to hold up? And we have doubts about medicine, particularly alternative medicine. We might have doubts about ourselves and our own abilities and our own integrity. The world is a crazy, deceptive and dangerous place. We can be robbed or killed. We can be exploited, deceived or taken for a ride. We may fail to find the truth and gain the taste of freedom. Also, we might have big doubts about ourselves, about our own integrity, even our own sanity and those around us. You might be having doubts about me. You might think I'm a nutter.